Hello, everyone. I'm Wiley Waller, and I'm proud to welcome everyone who's tuning in to another Students Ask interview with Mr. Oski. Thank you to Kate Harness for allowing us to broadcast this through 307.net radio once again, and to the students interested in reaching out to our superintendent and learning new things about him, our school district, and our community. Joining us today is, of course, Charles Oski.
Hi, everybody.
And
I'm so excited.
Yes, me too. And BHS senior Cadence Engling.
Hello. Okay, with the upcoming school year, we have a few questions that those who aren't graduating may want to know.
Okay.
So our first one is, what is your personal opinion on block days? And do you think it has been beneficial for students, or would you change it?
So my personal opinion on current block days here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. So I come from a world where I've lived a block. I've lived when I say lived it, I've worked in a block. We did what we also called a semi-block, where we met every day.
Right.
So from my experience, I want to say as a vocational teacher, I love the block schedule.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've seen some downfalls as an educator, as an administrator. That's why we went to kind of a hybrid type of block where
right.
your core classes met every day.
Right.
So theoretically, there's pros and cons to all of them as that mm-hmm. kind of looks as we kind of move forward. So a block has its positives. I mean, there's longer, but that's also a different type of teaching method.
Mm-hmm.
If it's set up that you meet every day or every other day, there's times that you might not see a kid maybe but once a week. So it all kind of depends on your schedule and where
yeah.
you're at. So if you're talking about my experience with it as a vocational teacher, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But as an educator, I will say my number one focus is kids should be in front of their core teachers every day,
mm-hmm.
a minimum of every day.
Absolutely.
So how that works here at Buffalo High School, I know you've made some tweaks
mm-hmm.
To kind of adjust those schedules. I also know that we are starting a committee to look at what some of the other high-performing schools around the state are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be curious to see what that looks like and what their feedback comes
yes.
from. Because this is kind of like a four-day week or a five-day week. A master schedule at a high school level is really dependent on the culture and the needs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair statement?
Yes,
yeah.
absolutely.
So that's why you don't want to come in. So that's why I've established we will have a committee. So I've asked the Mr. O
mm-hmm.
to establish a committee and start looking at some different things and see
sure.
if this is really what's best for kids.
Right.
But from an educational point of view, we've got to make sure we're providing what we should for kiddos, but more importantly, just kind of balancing that lost educational time.
Yes.
Fair?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I've noticed that, like, the freshman classes that have been coming in don't make it through an entire block day. Like, when we were freshmen, it's a lot. It's just, like, a lot different dynamic duo with them. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, do you think that maybe that shows that maybe we should potentially change the block schedule?
I think those are all the data pieces that we need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if kids are not here, or if there's a lack of attendance, or if it's just sometimes there's still a struggle in a 90-minute period. But
right.
you got to remember, we all have different attention spans.
Right.
There's no way you can teach a kindergarten class in a 90-minute period.
No.
Because
no.
They're changing every 3 minutes. So it's kind of that, where are they at? What do we do? And at the high school level, block schedule is just different. You're cramming 2 days' worth of work
mm-hmm.
into one period.
Right.
Is the way the theory. So that takes a different way of teaching, a different way of looking at how we do things. But it's going to be curious to see what this committee comes up with. Okay.
When it comes to gathering that data, like, how long does it take? Like, do you look at it like a year basis? Like, hey, this is...
So my goal for that, as we look at that, is to have something, if there's going to be a change or recommendation to the board by December.
Gotcha.
Because it takes a couple months to readdress
right.
things. Fair?
Yes, right. absolutely.
So that takes us into our next question. What's your opinion on Friday half days? I mean, there's been a lot of controversial. Some people think that we shouldn't have Fridays at all.
Well,
some people like the half day.
I should ask you, as the kids who live in it, you know, the intention by the 4.5-day week, if we go back to what the survey said, everybody likes it. They don't want to go back to a 5-day week.
Right.
But also in that survey when it out, there was a panel that we started. Dr. Hansen's leading it. About the curiosity, does a 4-day week actually meet the needs?
Right.
Okay. So Mr. Oski has lived all of those too. Okay. So let me tell you a little history. So I taught in a 5-day week. As an administrator in Wright, we tried to go to a 4-day week. The board wanted to have 70% of the community agree to it. We ended up with 65%, so they did not.
Gotcha.
Then I moved to Sheridan 3, where they were a 4-day week. So I've worked in both settings, and I think it's how it's approached. 4-day weeks have set of expectations that academics are Monday through Thursday, activities are Thursday night through Friday, Saturday, and there has some benefits. It also gives teachers more PD time or prep time.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of gives some kids some things there. However, there's some negatives to that. There are a little bit longer days. When do you get practices in? I mean, there's two sides to every story.
Right.
So that's a question for me since I'm on that committee. So what do you as students think of a 4.5-day week? Has it made a difference compared to a 5?
I think we've talked a little bit about this within our student council, and we do have some kids who are volunteering to be a part of that committee
mm-hmm.
with Mr. Hansen. And I think everyone's opinions are very different. There are some kids who participate in sports all the time, and they're like, yes, I love a 4.5-day week, because if I've got on Fridays, I don't miss a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's some kids who are here on Fridays, and because there's so many kids gone, you don't do anything anyway. You just sit there. So I think it's just kind of depends on what perspective
and
you look at it.
Personally, I'm pretty much gone every Friday.
Yeah.
So I kind of appreciate the benefit of not having to miss anything on a Friday, because it doesn't give you long enough to, you know, teach a new lesson, like our teachers and stuff. So I find it beneficial that I'm not missing new things, but when I am here on a Friday, I do find it beneficial. I get a 30-minute period where our teachers are just like, all right, work on what we gave over the week. Because, yes, a 90-minute block period is a good time to work on things, but most of the time the teachers use the full block period to teach. So I feel like Friday gives us a good opportunity. I know that there's lots of different ways. Like, I hear lots of kids, oh, I'm not going to go to school on Friday because no kids are going to be there and the teachers aren't going to do anything. So I see both sides. But personally, I enjoy the half day. I think it's a good, like, oh, yes, Friday, half day, like when I go there or when I'm gone. Oh, I'm just missing 30 minutes of class. It's not going to be a big deal. So, I mean, that's my personal opinion, but I know it goes both ways.
It does, and that's great feedback. And so from an administrative point of view, a shift in any type of schedule like that, to go to a 4.5-day week, you also have to look at employees that might, you know, is there potential of them losing hours,
right.
And that contracted time, athletics are scheduled usually a year to a year and a half in advance. What do your communities, how are you going to support the younger kiddos? If there is no school on Friday, what does that mean for your Boys and Girls Club? What does it mean for your daycare centers? Which in some cases opens more jobs for high school kids that want to be a part of that. I mean, it impacts the community. So
a lot
of people think, oh, it's just great for us as a high school. But realistically, when you shift schedules like this, this impacts your community.
Right.
So that's why.
So that's why
we are going to take a look at it and make sure it has a benefit not only for the school district, but for the community as we look at it. So, I can say my kids all went through a 4-day week all the way starting in kindergarten, and they were very successful.
Yeah.
Okay? So, but they are longer days.
Right.
And those are things you have to take into consideration. So, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of the survey and what the community feels.
Yeah. Right. Because I've heard the argument of, like, a lot of workplaces have 4-day weeks. You know, they don't have a full 5-day week schedule. So they say that benefits. But personally, did you enjoy, like, working in Wright or in Sheridan? Like, did you prefer the 4-day or the 4.5-day?
Well, so
as a teacher, I guess.
In a teacher in Wright, I was a coach, so I was a lot like in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You worked all week, you were with kids all weekend, and you came home on Sunday, and then you went to the school and you prepped.
Right.
Okay, in Wright, as a supervisor, when I was the administrator there, every night of the week, except Wednesday and Sunday, there was an activity.
Right.
So being the principal athletic director,
mm-hmm.
it was exhausting, right?
Right.
Okay. So when you think you move to the 4-day week, it's like, oh, we're going to have some time. Well, theoretically, Fridays still have activities.
Right.
If you don't have activities, you have professional development.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was at that point in my life with kids where you would travel on a Saturday and do some things. So the world of education is just busy. Sometimes it's just how you schedule it and what it looks like. However, some people weren't traveling, so the 4-day week meets their needs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So a kid might be able to work on a Friday, Saturday,
mm-hmm.
all right? And there's a lot of research behind it. But everybody says, oh, yeah, so I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it's kind of, man, I got a 4-day week, okay? There were still long weeks.
Right.
Okay? However, Friday for us was an opportunity to get caught up as educators so that you didn't have to spend the Sunday away from family time. Right. Fair?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Okay. What goes into hiring a principal or a teacher? What kind of does that process look like?
That is a very complicated process. Great question. Okay, a lot of people don't realize that in education there's a lot of rules around what we do. It has to be fair and equitable.
Right.
So let's just start with the basics. So the basic is when a position's open, you advertise it. You have to advertise it for a right amount of time. And then you put a committee together, and that committee will come together. And I'll just speak from my position. So as if I'm hiring at a district level position, so I'll bring a committee together. We'll establish interview questions, we'll establish expectations, and those conversations are all confidential as you do, and then you go through and you interview everybody.
Right.
And then typically what I would do is say we're going to interview four candidates, so then we pick the top two. So we have a hard discussion as a committee who the top two are, with the understanding then this is the question I would ask. All right, everybody has to be happy with the top two, because then I will go do reference checks.
Right.
So then when you do reference checks, if they work out, number one is who you offer. If number one is not and there's something that came up, you could offer to number two, and the committee is going to be good with that. So then that process comes as a recommendation to the Board of Trustees, and then when they're officially approved, they're hired. All right.
Gotcha.
If you go through the interview process and you find out that there's none of the candidates are really going to fit the position, then you can reopen the position and advertise again and start the process over.
So Cadence and I were recently part of an interview with a music teacher, with a possible candidate for the music teacher. Do you appreciate getting feedback from the students, like being taught by them for a 30-minute period? Like, do you, or is that beneficial, or do you think it's kind of
so
just from, a...
So as a superintendent, I value everybody that gives input. So in that piece, I did hear that the student's input was valuable,
all
right?
Good.
So I want to approach that from, because you guys were never on any one of my interviews.
Right.
But if you were on my interview committee, the way it's approached is everybody's input has to be valued, right? You have to hear that. We might not all agree on every little detail,
absolutely,
but the final thing comes down to, was the input heard? So I can say, yeah, if you're asked to be on an interview committee, your input should be valued. It does not necessarily mean everybody's on the same page, but it does come down to that majority.
Right.
Okay. And we as administrators, what is best for the district? Fair?
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Okay.
So that takes me into the next question. As a superintendent, like before you became the superintendent, like what requirements did you have to meet? Is there like a set of rules or regulations or things you had to go for schooling wise that you had to get in order to be the superintendent?
Yeah, so it's a journey. I'm going to put it that way. So it's a journey to be an administrator. So I'll just talk about my journey.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, no, sure.
So you start with your teaching certification, and then went through that, and then was encouraged to go get my master's at the University of Wyoming. So to get your master's is basically you're going to get it in a K-12 administration. So that's what I did.
Okay.
So we got that through the University of Wyoming. Then you do some internship hours, and then you get that certification from the PTSB. In the state of Wyoming, to be a principal or superintendent, basically, all you have to do is have a K-12 certification.
Okay.
Most districts, however, can up that and expect you to have your doctoral, your PhD in administration in order to apply. So a lot of the bigger districts will. Smaller school districts will not.
Okay.
So the current position I'm in, so I'm K-12 certified. I am in the doctoral program at the University of Wyoming. In that process, I will finish with an upper level certification, and then if you choose to finish your thesis, you will. But for this state of Wyoming, basically you just have to have an administrative degree.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. But the board can set it higher or lower.
Okay. And you mentioned internship opportunities. How long? Because I've heard lots and lots of 30 hours, how many hours?
Yeah, so everything's different. So like in student teaching, every university is different. So when we do our internship hours, student teaching hours, it can be a semester, it can be a full year, depending on where you're at. It depends on the program you're in. So internship hours through the program that I was in required 120 hours of deal. So I did an internship in Wright. I did an internship in an elementary in Gillette so I could get my K-12 certification. So that's where I did a majority of my internships. However, I also volunteered for like 3 years as an unpaid administrator in Wright, which was experience that came along with that.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Do you miss like being in the classroom and
Absolutely.
Teaching a lot?
I like kids.
Yeah.
What was the hardest part about like leaving your job to become an administrator?
Relationships you had with kids and peers. Right. Absolutely. You know, and it's a career choice. It's where you're at. Transparency, Mr. Oski was not going into education when he went to college. I was going into the ag and mechanical world.
Oh.
and had a couple instructors that pulled me aside and said, you need to go into teaching. And after about a year of pulling me aside, I said, okay, I'll do it.
Right.
And so that was interesting. I mean, everybody has a career. And so what the story I want to say is, it's kind of about mentors. People kind of guide you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unpredictable where you are. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't for those couple people pointing me in the direction of education, that wasn't the intention.
Right.
I was never wanting to go into administration until a couple people pulled me aside and said, you will go back to college and you will get your administrative degree. And I said, no, I will not. And yes, and so it's a journey. So
yeah.
Life and careers, not just about principals or education. Sometimes it's about the people in your life that direct you and say, hey, you would be good at this. And this is where we start.
Yeah.
Right.
Fair.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Cadence and I are going to be graduating here in a few weeks. Do you have any advice to give kids our age or, you know, the juniors that are becoming seniors?
Absolutely. It's scary, but you've earned it, right?
Right.
We don't know the day. I still remember BHS 1985 graduating, and then all of a sudden it sunk in. We won't be back next year,
right?
Where does that journey begin?
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, knowing this community, knowing the two of you through these interviews, you're going to be fine. But it's a new chapter.
Right.
It is scary, but when it comes out the other end, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so you got to celebrate this. It is a new chapter in life. We've all said, I can't wait till I'm done. I can't wait till I'm done. Right? Okay, that day is here.
Yeah.
And for you and your parents, it is a new chapter. It's probably going to be harder on the parents than it is you.
Absolutely. Definitely. But,
if there's one thing I think I worry too much,
mm-hmm.
when realistically you shouldn't, you have the skill sets, you're going to have challenges. And you know what? That's part of life.
Right.
But you can feel comfortable. And the fact is, I think you've got the skill sets to meet those. You have mm-hmm. support systems and it's going to be okay. Juniors coming up, what can I tell them? This is the year. This is your year, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but we're the big bad seniors, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've earned that. And, you know, what I've told senior classes before, one thing I learned as a senior is what kind of positive influence do we want to leave as a senior class?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do we want? What kind of traditions? You know, when we say the class of 1985, well, we were a tight group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of us that don't feel as old as we are, but we are the class of 85 because we were a tight group. There's lots of great memories. But we made friends outside of our group when we went off to college mm-hmm. and into our own lives, and
right.
but you still come back. So
right.
you have to create the positive memories, but you want to create a tradition, or you want to leave something that leaves your classes on a positive note.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I encourage senior classes that I learned from, because life is going to go fast.
It is.
I mean, here's a little story. When we came to our first class reunion, 10-year reunion, and there was a class reunion of 40 years, and I go, oh, that's not going to be me. Guess what? That was just yesterday.
Oh, right? Wow.
I mean, you think about the
yeah.
33 years in education. That means 6 years ago, I could have been that class that in the first one was going, we'll never be there. Well, we're here, right? So enjoy your life.
Time
flies. Enjoy your careers and go to college. You're going to have your ups and downs, but enjoy it. Fair?
Absolutely.
Do you have any more questions, Cadence?
Mm-mm.
I don't either. I think that's a great way to leave off this interview. Hopefully, we'll catch you up next week with our underclassmen. Thank you, Mr. Oski and Cadence, for joining me in Students Asks with Mr. Oski.
I love it.
Thank you.
And ladies, when you come back next year, you need to stop by the office and say hi.
We will.
Because I will love to know how your adventure is.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good job.